Okay, Rabbi Sai, Boker Tov. And today's daf is Daf Tzadik Aleph, which certainly is not a remiss that you should leave Daf Yomi. On the contrary, it's that you should leave all that prevents you from Daf Yomi. Same in Hatevah. All right, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was Haita Bat Yisrael, Nivselet Min HaKuhuna. So if she's a Bat Yisrael, she becomes Psula Min HaKuhuna in the case where she went ahead and she married the wrong guy thinking that her husband was dead. So, well, obviously, I mean, a Bat Yisrael is Nivselet Min HaKuhuna, she's a Zona, right? I mean, we had this a million times. What's the Chiddush? What do you mean, what's the Chiddush? We made such a big deal about this before, about the Bat Yisrael, who is Mutaret Leba'Allah. No problem there, to Yisrael. But nonetheless, she becomes then psula for something that's b'chlal not nogeha, even though she's muteris to her own husband, and all of a sudden, if she finds out, well, you're muteris to your husband, but lamais, if you ever end up getting married to a kohen, you got problems. So we brought Raya's back from the mission. How was all of a sudden, now it's pshita? Why is it pshita? Says Tosfos, wait, but the reason it wasn't pshita before was because she's muteris to her husband. You know, over here, she's a surah to her husband. It's a mizom ized. That's pshita. The question was why you might think that some woman who's completely butera should be herself a benakuna. Says the Gemara, bat levi min amaser tzrichale. The big kiddush over here is not the first part. The first part is indeed bat yisrael nivselet min hakuna. That's true, but read on. Ita bat levi nivselet min amaser. Oh, that's a big kiddush. You ever hear of such a thing before? That a bat levi becomes psula from eating maaser? Wait a minute. You're right, I never heard of it before because it's not true. Bas Levi min amaser, who ever heard of such a thing? A Bas Levi is psula because of znus? Vatanya leviyashinish beit. A Bat Levi, who was now captured by goyim. Normally we view a woman as in a position where she was captured, she was obviously raped. Oh, she nivela bilat znus. Well, we know for a fact that she was nivela bilat znus in these cases. Not ninla maaser v'yochelot. She says, there's supposed to take Meiser, she still eat Meiser, and says, don't try to tell me that the difference is Alibin Rebbe Meir. In other words, Rebbe Meir holds, as we've been saying all along, Alibin Rebbe Meir, there's a din of Kedusha in the Achilas Meiser, so maybe according to him, Enoch Inami, she would be Nusella. Says, even if that were true, it's no different, Alibin Rebbe Meir. Well, Rebbe Meir wouldn't come up with a brand new psul that a woman is Nusella, the Kuhuna is Nusella, but not Meiser. You can't compare Meiser and Truma in terms of this. You'd have to come up with a similar psul. You'd have to say that if there was a psul zayna that defined an iser to the Bas Levi, to her husband, so then there would be something equivalent to Gabi Meiser. So that's obviously the case. Because the whole point over here is going according to Rabbi Meir. It's got to be according to Rabbi Meir. The whole price is according to Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbanan, why would we have to say that a zayna eats Meiser, even a zara eats Meiser, right? The whole thing only makes sense only to Rabbi Meir. It's not anyone, any person in the world. There's no limitations according to Rabbanan and Achilas Meiser. So it would be absurd to say you could become puzzle from Achilas Meiser. How can you become puzzle if there's no definition of who eats it? The question that we're asking is, Dafka, if we are going Alibin Rebbe Meir. So this Bryce is saying, even Alibin Rebbe Meir, who holds that there's a schus in Achilas Meiser to a lady, but says Beferish, she's not Nifselet, there's this. The Torah didn't create a new concept called a Zaina for a Bat lady. That would be the equivalent of a Bat Kohen. Now, there's a very interesting condition that Tosfos considers. He says, wait, so according to that, the mission that says she's Niselet min HaMaser might be only true Alibin Rebbe Meir. Because according to Rabbanan, it's an absurdity in a sense to say she's Niselet min HaMaser when there's no limitations on this. In the Stam, even in the end, when we explain it. Omer of Sheshes, Knosa, you're right. The pshat is that Miikra Adin, obviously she's not Nifselet, but remember the whole point of the Mishnah is that we're trying to create a miserable life here for a woman who doesn't do her detective work properly. So it's a knas b'alma in a finami. So it's faces, but a knas has to have some type of mechanism. I mean, maybe according to the Rabbanan, it's a laughable knas. What do you mean she can't eat mice? What's that supposed to mean? Why not say she can't eat chicken soup? I mean, what's mice are different than chicken soup? You see? Or, says Tosfos, the fact is that there's no such psul even Alibin Rebbe Meir. In which case, you could say the same thing to Rebbe Meir, tell me you can't eat chicken soup. Ella, the pshat is that the knasa is to create such a category of removal from the rishus of husband. Or maybe it had to do with giving her meiser rather than eating. That's a possibility. So Tosfos isn't sure. In other words, it could be that it is indeed limited to Rebbe Meir. It could be that once we make a knas, we'd make a knasa filo Alibin Rebbe. Okay, next piece that we have. is that Bat Kohen is Nifselet Min HaTruma. Now, there's not much of a chiddush there, because, I mean, we already said we were Kohenes for Baiser, and Kosher, we're going to be Kohenes for Truma. Truma is much more Kosher. So what's the chiddush in this case? The chiddush in this case is Afilu B'Truma de Rabbanan. You might think, generally, we were much more maker when it came to Truma B'Zman Hazer, Truma Das Sinti Rabbanan. Kamash Malan, she's totally Nifselet Min HaTruma. Ve'in Yoshav Shal Zeh, Ve'yoshav Shal Zeh, Yoshim Ketuv Batam. What's more, her heirs do not get her ketuvah. Now this does not make sense. She doesn't have a ketuvah. We just went through 13 issues in the Mishnah that she doesn't have. No ksuvah, no mezainis, no galois, no peiros, etc., etc. And I now need to tell you, oh, by the way, all those great things she has, her heirs don't have. She doesn't have any great things. So what does it mean, her heirs? There's nothing to inherit. Ketuvah, maya vidate. Why are we discussing a non-existent ketuvah? Amrav Papa, you missed the point here. The point is, she has no ketuvah, you're absolutely right. She cannot recover her property, the Paris that he ate, you're absolutely right. Let me ask you something. Suppose she dies, okay? Now her husband keeps everything. Okay, fine. 15 years later, after he's married to another woman, has got 10 children from her, the second woman, he dies, leaving now 17 children, two from his first wife, who was this woman who didn't have her ksuvah, and now all of his other children, right? Now, there's a halakha called Ketuvat Benin Dichrin. Ketuvat Benin Dichrin is one of the fascinating tsna'im in a ketuvah that says that in the event that you, the wife, dies before I die, then all of the things that you brought into this marriage, invested in the marriage, when I die, will be first given to your children, and then everything else will be split evenly between all of the remaining heirs. But the things that are uniquely yours, your children have a right to collect. And they can collect out of your property first, and then everybody splits what's left. Now, that t'nai is not given, it's useless to her in her lifetime, right? When she died. It's only 15 years after she died that this t'nai kicks in, when he dies now, leaving his property to be split among the total estate, which include her children from many years before. Now, we might have thought that in that case, since, in fact, she really got no personal benefit out of that ksuvah at all, as long as she was alive. So the whole thing was, we gave her a knas. Okay, and why should we give a knas to her children? Maybe the whole din of Ein la ketuvah v'lo peirot etzon, that's as far as she's concerned, she can never get that. She didn't. She didn't get it, she died, he kept it, the whole thing. As far as she was concerned, in her lifetime, on her deathbed, it was all over. She never saw her property. Maybe that's enough of a knas. Maybe we shouldn't be kodesh the children. Ah, therefore, comes along and Mishnah to say, her heirs also don't have the ksuvah. That's the ksuvah's benin dichrin. So, maya abidite amr papa ktuvat benin dichrin. Well, why would I think that there would be a ktuvat benin dichrin? You said there's no ktuvah. Pshita, that's not so posh. Because ma'a the tema the dibda da'avda yisura kansura rabbana. She who did what was wrong, whatever that was, or she should have been done a better job with her detective work and so on, ended up marrying this other guy. So there the Rabbanan created a knas. But to say that there should be a knas 15 years later on her children, maybe Lazara Logansu Rabbanan. Kamash Balan, that the removal of the ketuvah is absolute. It's not, the ketuvah is there, but you can't collect it. But your kids could collect it later when your husband dies. The ketuvah is not there. And therefore there's nothing to discuss about the Benin Dichrin.
Even though they're both called ketuvahs, really they're really two different items completely, though.
Not really, because the elements of the ketubah that we're referring to, I mean, that's you're right, the word ketubah, but the overall sense of ketubah includes the money that she brought in the chos, okay. And so on. It's true that in the Mishnah we separate between them. Ketubah in the sense of the money she was supposed to get and all of these other tzvayim. But generally the broad term ketubah really is all one thing. Achiv shal zeh, v'achiv shal zeh, chotziv lo miyabim. Now, let's make sure we understand this. Achiv shel Rishon, obviously she's really married to the first guy. I mean, the second guy was just a mistake. So he certainly would have to do chalitza midiraisa. That's for sure. She would be a yavam of the church. She's still, technically speaking, completely married to the first husband. On the other hand, I mean, the truth is, she really should get yibum too. I mean, why dafka chalitza? Except the Rabbonan, lo miyabim, that's been Rabbonan. The Rabbonan, because we want to take away her rights as a wife. And part of her rights as a wife would be to have a new husband with all. She doesn't have that. We're trying to delegitimize this marriage. And obviously, we're not going to be mater or lishuk, but we're not going to offer the option of her getting evil. It's only chalitza. Now, the second guy she was ever married to. So that's already really a chalitza. That's not a real chalitza, but neither was the get. Remember, we were mechayivim and giving a get. And that was only in order that people shouldn't think that an agent teaches you how to blow a get just because her first husband came back. So therefore, because maybe they'll think maybe it was a divorce in the first husband. They wouldn't know this whole pursuit. So because of that, we also require chalitza. So obviously that's only in Rabbanah. V'lomi abim, there's no chi of yibum, not midiraisa, not midirabbanah. I mean, that's not lamaisa. You know, what if the guy's brother wants to marry him? Stop. Is this an iser across the board that we call him a ach and she's an ashes ach? So in other words, on that level, we are legitimizing the marriage to the second because of the same gezera. That's not clear. Already, is that 100% from the sugya? Let me write to everybody. That's a chiver. It's an iser.
I'm not sure if that's a secret thing.
She's married to the second guy as a joke. I mean, she's got a husband.
So when does he die?
When does he die? Before he had the first one?
Yeah, because obviously it should be for you, but he died.
Yeah, so what do you mean when? Before he gave her the get that the Mishnah mandated. Obviously.
And he's not considered by it. She would be like an Arab of him, and therefore
no,
not.
No, that's right. Yeah, the whole thing is only a drab on him tonight. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ktuvatan Getzei Ba'alah Rishon. Now, before we do this, let us look carefully once again at the Mishnah, because there were things that were unclear in the Mishnah. I want to go over the end of the Mishnah so that we understand very well what the Shitot are and what the following Gemara is concerned about. Remember that the Tanakhama and the Mishnah makes this blanket statement, she has lost everything. There's no Ksuva, there's no Maisi Yadayim, the Mitzia that normally would go to the husband does not, and the question is what the Din of Yibam, there would be an Isser of Yibam, only be Chalitz, and so on. That's a Shitot. Now we have three other sheets. Rabbi Yossi Omer, look in your Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer. It's not true she doesn't have a ketuba. She has a ketuba, but only from the first husband. So ketuba tonit, say ba'ala arishon. Okay. Rabbi Elazar Omer, arishon zakai b'mitziyata b'ma'asei yadeh. It's also not true. I disagree with the Tanakhama. I shouldn't say also. I disagree with the Tanakhama about something other than what Rabbi Yossi disagrees. I disagree about whether there is a schus in the Maaseh Yadayim or in the things that she finds or lottery tickets to the husband. Now, is that additive or is that different? What would Rabbi Elazar say about the question of whether she has a ksuva? Is he saying, I agree with Rabbi Yossi, but I would take it even a step further. Rabbi Yossi says she gets a ksuva. I say it's more than that. There's even basically a relationship there of man and wife in which she also would give her salary to her husband. Now we'll see that there's two ways of looking at that. Okay, then we have a third sheet. Rabbi Shimon Omer. V'yatal chalitzata mi'achim sharishon b'teret tzarata. It's a real, honest-to-goodness, kosher chalitza. Wow. Even though there's a wife, there's another wife who never went ahead and married anybody else. As a matter of fact, she might have even gotten married afterwards. Doesn't matter. Perfectly okay. Is that additive? Is he saying only this issue? But not the question of whether she has a ksuva that I disagree with, or is he saying, well, gentlemen, not only is there an issue of her getting the money that's involved in this marriage is treated as totally legitimate even legabi yisr. So, again, are we adding or are we discussing separate issues? There's another problem also in the Mishnah, because look at the next word. Ve'im niseit shelob reshut. Ve'im niseit. Is that said by Rabbi Shimon? As opposed to everybody else, and it's an additional point I'm making, says Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to what you all think, let me tell you that if she got married without Rishut Beit Din, meaning that there were witnesses, she didn't need Rishut Beit Din, so then she can even go back to her husband. Is that his personal opinion? Or is that basically the meaning of the Mishnah? I mean, because the Mishnah is talking about a case where she was Nisei Talpi Beit Din, so if not, then there would be no problem. Okay, those are the issues that remain currently ambivalent. We don't know how to relate to them. Let's take a look now and see that it's actually not as simple as you might think. Rabbi Yossi says, "K'tuvatal nitzei ba'ala rishon." And then we have Rabbi Elazar, and then we have Rabbi Shimon. Omer Rav Huna says, "Rav Huna, look, here's the way to understand the Mishnah. The way to understand the Mishnah is that each shita is adding an additional thing to the previous shita, which the previous shita would not have gone that far." And the next sheet is saying, well, I will take what you're saying, but I'll take it even a step further. That's how to understand the Mishnah. So therefore, the Batroi Moda Lekamoi, the next sheet down, always agrees to the element that had been discussed previously, but adds to it. But the first sheet would not agree to the next sheet. So therefore, each one is adding. But kamroi lo modi lebatroi. And let me explain it to you, what the logic is. The logic is this, says Rav Huna. Rabbi Shimon, he is certainly made to Rabbi Elazar. Okay, because look, basically, what we are saying, Aliba, the Rabbi Shimon, is that she's even allowed to do chalitza, and it's a kosher chalitza, and that's it means that it's a real, honest-to-goodness marriage, right? So we're saying that you can have bia, her bia paters, and so on. I mean, so if he is saying that bia, which is the ikar isura lokanis, and that's the main issue, is she married? Does she have a right to have relations with the guy's brother, and so on? I mean, even over there he says that we accept her as a wife. So certainly, I mean, koshkein, the earlier issue, which was mitziyata o maaseyate, I mean, that's just monetary. Usually we're much more makbid. If we have a gezer, we're trying to discourage ishut. I mean, ishut is sex. Why are we going to now money? Money could be a separate issue. So koshikain, the money is not going to be a problem. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, certainly would not go that far. Rabbi Elazar, who said, now I think she still is married in terms of her salary and in terms of her lottery tickets. Of course, I wouldn't say that you could go ahead now and have a kosher yibum and chalitza. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, that would literally be legitimizing the marriage. So I only was saying, mitziyatama, asiyadeh, okay, that's a monetary issue. Monetary issue, lo kanis. But I mean, certainly, bia di surah, lo kanis. I would never say what Rabbi Shimon says. The two of them, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, would certainly agree to Rabbi Yossi. They're expanding on Rabbi Yossi because, look, these latter things are indications of an ongoing relationship with a man. She's making money, she's giving him over the money, right? I mean, so Koshi came to Ksuva. I mean, what's a Ksuva? Ksuva means when they get divorced, that she gets money. I mean, that's not indicating that she's currently married. It's just indicating that she was married and now she's divorced. So if I'm ready to say that they're even married now, insofar as her salary going to her husband, so obviously, if they're getting divorced, she gets a ksuva. That's what we want to do, is say that she should get divorced. Okay, so let her get divorced and pay. So certainly, I mean, ani diyatva tu tevo konis. The things that indicate that she's currently in a good relationship and that is meant to go on when somebody is married properly. This is a normal marriage. That she makes money, puts it in the bank, he uses it, and so on. So Koshi came to ksuva with all point of the ksuva is the lamishkala mefikoi. The ksuva, the point is for her to take and to get out. To take and get out is exactly what we want. I mean, why do we need to take away your ksuva? So obviously we agree to Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Yossi, for the same reason, would not agree to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi would say, oh, wait a minute. You're right, the ksuva, I mean, that's basically we're telling her, get out, take your money and run. Fine. That I say, but what you're saying, that we should provide her basically a place to be. And she's got a husband who now takes care of her, and she gives over the salary in exchange and so on. I mean, that certainly is wrong. I'm telling you, a ktuva de la mishkala mefa, where the whole point is to get away. Okay, over there, lo konis. Well, what do the rabbanim have to take away a ksuva? I mean, what, to indicate that they were never married? They were married. I mean, we're not arguing about that before this whole story happened, and he went on his business trip and never showed up again. Abohani di advetute, these latter things that are indicative of an ongoing relationship, such as Yibam and Chalitza, and the monetary relationship over there, of course, that's the point of the Mishnah. And there I would agree to the Tanakhama. And Konis, we don't want her to sense that she's in a good marriage. That's my approach, says Rav Huna. Very reasonable. Four shitas. We start off with basically the most common shita, which is Tanakhama. She has nothing on any level, not a ksuva, not an ongoing financial relationship with a husband, not any of her mitzvot, not certainly not Yibum or Chalitza if he dies. And then we go down a step, or Yosef, well, not the ksuva part. She gets divorced, that she's got. And then we go on to Rabbi Elazar. No, she's got even more than that. She's even got the relationship with her husband for her monetary issues, the joint bank accounts, the whole business. She's still married. Of course she can't really get Yibum or Chalitza. And then Rabbi Shimon says, not all things are mistakes. She gets Yibum or Chalitza also. It makes a lot of sense. We have four shittas now, each one being more makel on her state. Rabbi Yochanan says, I see it the other way around. I see just the opposite. The kamo l'madei l'basoi. The biggest chiddush is the first shita, the lesser chiddush is the second, and the least is the third. And there's a completely different way of looking at it. Instead of looking at it the way you are, which is the question of, well, how much are we willing to allow, what we ought to look at it as how reasonable is it to make the knas? So what I'm saying is, the first shita has already subsumed the shita that comes after it, and certainly the shita that comes after that. But the latter shitas limit the knas, and they had to only to the most extreme, unreasonable case to be kodesh. And here, let me explain it to you. Reb Yossi, he's the first one. He says she gets the ketuvah from the guy. So he certainly agrees to Rabbi Elazar. I mean, if he's ready to say that even the ketuvah, which is given from him to her, she is not even lose that, and he gives her the ketuvah. I mean, so certainly, mitziyata, koshken mitziyata, masiyadea. I mean, over there, what are we going to do? We're gonna make a knas that what? That she gets to keep her lottery winnings? That's the knas? I mean, so I mean, over there, koshken, the fact that she can go ahead now and keep her own things, I mean, that's something that she was going to give to him. What would be the point of that knas? We even let him give things to her. So for sure, let her now continue the relationship as Mitzio Masiyadeh. Rabbi Lazar, however, would say, now, wait, I would certainly not agree with Rabbi Yossi to let her get a ksuvah. Ksuvah would mean that she is collecting money off of an illegitimate marriage. So Mitzio Masiyadeh, there, okay, the fact that she continues to give her earnings to the guy, where she's not exactly all that happy with that, to Mididala Didei, that, okay, that I'm not going to be kanes. Ava ketuvah, to Mididala Didei, Mashenkin, to allow her to collect money from the guy, that already I won't do. Over there, I would say, no, that we do have to be konis, because it's much more reasonable to be konis that. So again, the way Rabbi Yochanan is looking at it, in terms of reasonability of the knas, it makes a good deal of sense that it's the other way around. And indeed, both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar would certainly agree with Rabbi Shimon, because even the things like collecting the ksuvah or the rights to her lottery winnings, those are things that define a relationship that is still extant, because the man is still alive, the Michaim. And even their lokansi, it wasn't, they were willing to say that all of that or some of that is not reasonable to be kones, because it's not all that much considered to be an indication of marriage. Kol shekin, the bia of the brother, which is after the guy's dead and buried. I mean, it's no longer relevant. So we're now legitimizing the relationship. There's no relationship. The man's in his grave. So if there's lachar mita, lo kol shekin, that there's even less of a reason to be kones. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, now, this case, okay. This case, since it's lachar mita, lo konis. But I'm not going to agree with you not to be konis the other things. I'm not murdered to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Elazar. Bia, which is talking about after death. Indeed, lo konis. But hani to mechayim, these other things, which are indicative of an ongoing relationship of a living person, konis, their Rabbi Shimon certainly would be konis, and therefore the structure of the Mishnah works out perfectly the way that I view it. So it's interesting, with the two different perspectives, we come out really with two completely different organizations of the Mishnah.
Now, remember, when we read the Mishnah, we were a bit unclear as to whether that was only the words of Rabbi Shimon, but everybody else argued, or whether, very reasonably, the way the Mishnah is constructed, is that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about marriage al pi beis din. The second part of the Mishnah is talking about marriage al pi einin. And look, I mean, certainly the last piece that's mechalek between nisei al pi beis din and the gabei korban, or lo nisei al pi beis din, and the legabe a carbon, is obviously everybody's talking about that. So the Mishnah does make the chilek between what the basis of the marriage, albeit in terms of this other issue, about whether it's considered to be a ras vesta for a fee of carbon. But, I mean, where did you get the idea that anybody would argue on Rabbi Shimon? And yet, remember that one of the explanations in Rav, we said before, muteret lach sorbo, if she got married, I'll be Adam, was that basically it was paskening like the Mishnah, remember? And then we said, oh, no, that could be what it means, because Rav already said, Hochi Yochasa. Now, at that point, we should have been disturbed by, what do you mean? We need Rav to confirm that look is like the Mishnah. Why wouldn't it be like the Mishnah? The only meaning that it could have had before was that Rav was paskening like Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, it's not so clear. The Chachamim would have argued on Rabbi Shimon. And they would have said that even if she got married, I'll be Edim, she still gets all of this kenaz. It's a completely different way of looking at it. And then we have to ask ourselves, well, what the heck was she supposed to do? As Rob pointed out before, I mean, you got witnesses, the Torah says, do well, three witnesses, and now you lose because you follow the din? Does that make sense? So now this is what the Gemara wants to pursue. And you say, Shalom Bersha. So what we said before, Omer Abun Amarab, Hochi Hilkas. This is how we paskin. Indeed, it's all a function of getting married, I'll be bezdin, meaning I'll pay Adha, which requires bezdin. But if she didn't even need to go to Bezdin because everybody knows her husband died. What does that mean? Everybody knows her husband died. It means they're witnesses. And basically, what it means, there was a New York Times article that said that so-and-so died in a car crash. You're going to trust the New York Times? Pretty crazy. So obviously, it means that there's witnesses. Good. By the way, that actually reminds me, all along we've been talking about three basic shitas to how the Rabbanan accomplish such a thing, to allow a woman to marry Al-Pi Echad, and when the Torah says Al-Pi Shnei Edim, Yakum Davar, and we say that this is Dvar Erva, right? So we had our approaches, which is basically we had the Riz approach, that it's not considered to be Eiker, when it's basically logical, the Torah gives you a place in which it's possible to believe somebody, or we had the question of the Anan Sahavi. The Rambam has a unclear explanation, which has given rise to a lot of discussion. Rambam says, don't be disturbed by the fact that the Torah has said that we have to paskin al pi Eidim, and yet the Rabbanan have accepted an Eid Echad in Bezdin. Because when the Torah writes that you have to paskin al pi Eidim, it's referring to things that can only be known al pi Eidim. And therefore, where you basically have the impossibility of the reconstruction of information other than through Eidim, the Torah then gives you a mechanism to be able to reconstruct information. And it says you have a right, despite the fact that we know that memory is totally fallible, and therefore there's no reason for us to trust the chemical imprint on your brain and to say that that's a real reconstruction of information. The Torah says, pretend it is, and act accordingly as if you actually know this to be true.
An event versus the status of a thing.
I'm not sure what you mean. The question is whether
the two aidings for an event that you can't reconstruct.
Correct.
The status of a thing.
Correct. The status of a thing, it can be determined by the fact that the guy can walk in. In other words, what are you saying? We're totally in the dark. We'll never know if this guy actually died. Really now. And what happens when he walks in the room? So those cases, says the Rama, where did the Torah ever say that you're limited where the information is still accessible? Where did the Torah ever say that you're limited to two Eidim? Now that, of course, what triggered my comment was my own comment about the New York Times. Right. In other words, there is indeed a completely different sense of the nature of information the way the Rambam is learning. However, the Nosei Kalin of the Rambam are medayet that this still requires a takana d'rabbanan, and therefore they understand the Rambam as basically saying the same thing that the Ri is saying. But if you find the grounds for something in which it's not going to be Akira, it's not Akira. If you look at the Rambam yourself, you will, I think, question that analysis. But it may well be that the Rambam represents a new shita in redefining the nature of Eidim. Absolutely beautiful. And it's classic Rambam. It's exactly the way the Rambam views Eidim all along, as we saw in Yisodei HaTorah, that it's not serious information. It's what you do when you can't get the information. That's the point. And he compares it to Nevius. It's not a scientific issue. Is the guy a prophet or not a prophet? How the heck are you going to know if the guy's a prophet? Because he does miracles? Well, how does a miracle prove anything? There's an infinity of possible explanations for miracles, including technologies that you're not aware of. So maybe he's a guy from outer space. But how do you know he's a prophet? You'll never know. That's the point. Because anything that he does could be accomplished with technology, and any prediction that he makes could be simply coincidental. You can't analyze statistically, the guy must be a prophet, he's always right. So it happened that he's always right. You probably couldn't happen. It happened that he's always right. Big deal. The next piece of information he'll say turns out to be a joke. It won't be right. So what right do you have to be silent on him? Says the Rambam, well, you're right. It's the same as witnesses. Witnesses, you'll never know the truth. But the Torah says, pretend you know the truth on this basis. Exactly the same halacha. You see his consistency. Masha Enkate, if you do have the opportunity, it's an amazing thing, because he's basically being machalic between those questions that can be addressed, as we call nowadays, this is a scientific question and this is not. This is open to experiment and this is not. If it's not open to experiment, so what are we talking about now? We're talking about mumbo jumbo. Your opinion is as good as my opinion. Therefore comes along the Torah to say, when it comes to issues that cannot be objectively determined, we have to give you guidelines as to what the nature of the information you could be saying on it. That's fantastic. I'm telling you, it's just, he's 1,000 years ahead of his time. It's just astounding. Who thinks in these ways? You know, in those days, people didn't think like that. This is mamish within the last 50 years that type of thinking becomes clear. And you see the way that everybody argues with it. The Reifert again argues with it. The same way he argues throughout anything that has to do with that type of approach, the right that goes crazy over. So he says the same thing over here. He says, well, what about mitoch chomer sheichmar tov mitzopah mitzchilata? He says over there, right? Okay.
But if even there is science, as you know, that one theory would hold that you can only prove what you don't know, not what you do know.
Yeah, he's fine. There. But here too, you can only prove the guy's alive. Yeah. You can't prove that he's dead. But that's enough to say, okay, but that means it's no longer open to conjecture necessarily. We may indeed be able to reconstruct the information elsewhere. So therefore, says the Rambam, so what are you going to say? A guy walks in and he says that the man is dead. When it's an open question, and he may walk in 2 minutes later, is that what the Torah considered to be limited by two witnesses? Maybe over there in the New York Times is enough. Is the New York Times going to print something which they're going to have to retract the next day? That's basically the Rambam sheet. That's what he's saying over here. What? So a witness comes in, he's going to say the guy is dead when he knows the door may open up as he's sitting in bed, and the guy walks in. So you're telling me that there we also need to wait in? Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Anyway. So back now to our sugya. Says now, after hearing the psak that Hachi Hilchasa, says Rav Nachman, why are you such a sneak? What are you sneaking around, okay? What are you trying to say when you say, Hachi Hilchasa? Yisvir lachak Rabbi Shimon. Look, do you hold of Rabbi Shimon? Then be a man, stand up and say, Halachic Rabbi Shimon. Hachi Hilchasa. Just pass the Halachic Rabbi Shimon. Because clearly, the Shamatek Rabbi Shimon Azla. I mean, what you're saying when you say Hachi Hilchasa is basically your Shmuas following Rabbi Shimon. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, I couldn't say Halach Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon also said that other thing about the Yibam and the Chalitz. I mean, I didn't want anybody to make a mistake and think that we were passing straight out of Leave of the Rabbi Shimon. We're only passing the last piece. So, v'chitei mi'yamin Halach Rabbi Shimon mashma filo b'kam ma'isa, that had I said that, people would think I'm passing like Rabbi Shimon even vis-a-vis the Yibam and Chalitz. So, you still could have said Halach Rabbi Shimon b'achreina. But why did you say Hachi Yilchasa? Something sneaky about that, as if you don't want people to realize that you are committing yourself to A, pointing out that indeed these are the words of Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, this is what Renachman is trying to elicit, right? Go ahead, tell me. That's okay, because I'm not talking like Rabbi Shimon. Go ahead, I want to hear, because I'm ready. Okay, instead, say nothing on Kasha. All right, that why I'm sneaking around is a problem. Omer of Sheshis. Says, I didn't understand what these guys are talking about. I mean, maybe they were fast asleep, but this was like they were in a daze when this conversation took place, because it's mad. Amina ki naim v'shachiv Rav, armalah shmaitzi, he must have been half asleep. Rav is a smart man. He couldn't possibly have said anything this stupid. And because, what do you mean, halacha achi okasa? What is that supposed to mean? What, is there anybody who argues? What do you think, that this is Rabbi Shimon and somebody argues on it? This is clear. I mean, it's the whole point of the whole parak. I don't know what he's saying. Chal the pleading. My Havimah Lameva, me honest, I understand. What's your Havamina? The Torah says how to act. The Torah says proceed. You know the husband is dead, you're Mutarek. And how do you ever know a husband is dead? Well, she has to watch him die? I mean, the Torah says, I'll be Shnei Edim. Thank you. You were the Shnei Edim. Is there something else I could have done? So what are you telling me? That you do what the Torah says to do, and we hold you totally to blame. It's your fault. And therefore, we're going to give you this terrible knas to destroy your life. It's crazy to think such a thing. Not to mention the fact that it says Beferish in the Brisa that this is true. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. Not only I'll leave it to Rabbanan. Take a look at this Brisa. Oh. It says in the Brisa, Kol arayot shabat Torah, Ein tzichot hebenu get, chutz mi eshet ishet iset al pi beiti. Okay? You never need a case. But if somebody married an erva, that's not a marriage. And we do not dignify that relationship, an incestuous relationship with the requirement, forget if people were living together in sin. It's not a marriage. There's only one case where we do have such a requirement. Chutz mi eshet ish, shenisayt al pi beit din. Where a woman, it's true that a married woman is an erva, not incest, is an erva. Okay? So over there, if she got married in no distress of al pi beit din, which means she needed beit din, that there was only one aid, so there indeed we have a Mishnah that says you need a get. That's the only case. You're married now to husband number one, you're sleeping with husband number two under the misapprehension that husband number one is dead, and we're pretending that it's husband number two and not just lover. That's the only case. Now, note the stress on Al-Pi Beidin. That was the Brisa saying, Al-Pi Beidin hu d'bai gita. You only go through this whole rigmarole of pretending that she's married to the second guy and she was mizana and she loses the whole thing, whole contradictions, only if she got married Al-Pi Beidin. But, Al-Pi Beidin, If Lamaisa, she had relied on Edim, then none of this happens. None of, she goes back to the guy, she's been Teret, she's an Anusa, and she certainly, we don't pretend that there was, we don't give her a Knas, there's no problem. Al pi Edim lo boi Gita. Now, who do you think this is going according to? Rabbi Shimon? You think that this reflects Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah, that's what you're saying. And therefore, Rav has to come along and say, well, we pass him like Rabbi Shimon. But of course, the Chachamim argue. No, it cannot be Rabbi Shimon. Because, and I'll prove it to you, Mani, who do you think the Mishnah is going to? The Brisa here is going according to Elam, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon. Do you think that according to Rabbi Shimon, Al Pi Beit Din, you need a get? Even Al Pi Beit Din, you don't need a get, according to Rabbi Shimon. V'atanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Asu Beit Din Bahura Atan, and this makes sense, by the way, because Rabbi Shimon, remember, holds that she can even get Yibam V'chalitza. And if that's the case, let me tell you something. We have not gotten to the bottom of Rabbi Shimon Shita. Here's the bottom of Rabbi Shimon Shita. Asu Beit Din in Hora'atan Kizadon Ish B'isha. What we made in terms of defining the state of relationship, that in a case where a Beit Din gave a Hora to get married, meaning that we needed the Beit Din, it was an Eid Echad, we viewed the subsequent relationship as the equivalent of going out the mazid and living with another guy. Okay? So if you went and you slept with an Eish HaSeish, so indeed, she is now Asura on her husband. And if the case was that it was Al-Pi Edim, then we made that as the equivalent of Shigagat Ish B'Isha. That would be a case in which the relationship was viewed as a mistake, and she does not become Asura to her husband. That's what Rabbi Shimon said. And if either of these events happen, Ine v'ine lo boi get. Neither, I mean, that's what this is saying. If we're saying that we're comparing her to two known cases, the two known cases are, she went ahead and slept with a guy b'mezid, she went ahead and slept with a guy b'shaydid. Tell me, in either of those cases, does she get a get? So don't forget about this complex case. A woman goes ahead and sleeps with another guy knowingly. So what's the thing? She needs a get from the second guy? Did you ever hear anything like that? No siree. Okay, next case. A woman goes ahead and sleeps with a guy by mistake. Did you ever hear of her needing a get? No. No. Whatever the case would be, whether she's Muteris or whether she's Asura, Rabbi Shimon holds you don't need a get. That's what he's saying. Because that, what else is the point of the comparison? That's the comparison. So neither case needs a get. Therefore, when it says over here in this Brisa, the only time you need a get is a Eishes Ish that got married up Bezdin, B'Eid Echad, it's going according to the Chachamim. And therefore, we can be medayik, dafka was alpi beit din. But if it was alpi shnei din, she does not need a get. Exactly what I'm trying to show you is that the machlokas, the putative machlokas, that you're coming along to paskin, hachi hilchasa, you're paskining a hachi hilchasa on a non-existent machlokas. The Rabbanan also agreed that, of course, the Mishnah was only discussing a case where she got married alpi beit din. Elav Rabbanan. Says Rav Huna, no, it's going according to Rabbi Shimon Dafka. You misunderstood what Rabbi Shimon is saying over here. Which reads Hachi. The way to understand Rabbi Shimon's words are as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Osu Beit Din Bo Ratan Ki Kavanat Ish Bisha. Remember that the word mezid has two meanings. Is that it's the meaning of intent, kavanat. We used it before earlier in the Mishnah. Bole Amezid, Chogi, so intent. So you go ahead now and have an intent. That's all it means. Kavanat ish b'isha simply means stam, a guy who has an intent to sleep with a woman for a purpose. That's all it means. So in such a case, a guy has an intent to sleep with a woman for a purpose of kinyan, he requires a get. That's what it meant. We make a case where Bezdit said, Bo'orantan, the same as a regular guy who goes over to a regular woman who's unmarried and makes kiddushin on her. And therefore, of course, they require a get. That's what he's referring to. And therefore, boy, a get. But if she gets married, I'll be Edim, then we make it as if it is a shalom b'kavana ish b'isha, that it was without the intent for marriage, and therefore lo boi get. It's only a simon of whether you need a get or not. But according to Rabbi Shimon, of course you need a get. And therefore, this whole bright that was going on, leave it to Rabbi Shimon, when it says that it's dafka in terms of the Hira's Bezin. But according to the Chachamim, I don't care if she got married with Hira's Bezin or she got married with Shnei Edim. According to Chachomian, she would need a get for to say all of this mission would go in either case. Therefore, I want to make it very clear, it says Rav Huna Amar Rav, we pass it like Rav Shimon. Rav Ashi says, I agree with you, but I don't agree with the way you understand the words of Rav Shimon. You're right, that the Rabbanan would hold, that indeed, that it's not like Rav Shimon. But what it means over here is le'inyan isura katani. You're right. Zodan ish v'isha, yes. Shigigas ish, yes. Not referring to pnuya, referring to nation ish who went out. But not in terms of whether you need a get. He's just simply trying to say, is she asura on her husband or not? So if it's Bairah's Bezdin, they made it like a Zodan and she's asura on her husband. If it's Shalapi Bezdin, meaning that there were two Eidim, so then she's Mutar at her husband. Who's discussing yet? We're not discussing yet. Get has nothing to do with anything over here. Nobody even thought about it yet. Maybe indeed you need a get. So therefore you cannot prove that this is the Rabbanan and indeed is Rabbi Shimon. So Hachikama. Asu Beidin Boratan, Kizdonish Visho, Mitzra Abala. Therefore, since it's the equivalent of Zodah and she becomes a Surah and her husband, and on the other hand, Al-Pi-Aidim, then they make it as the equivalent of Shiyugat Ish-Bisha. Below Mitzra Bala. As to the question whether she needed a get, we never raised that question. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, I agree with you also, but I don't agree with the way you understand what the equivalency that Rav Shimon sets up. Rav Shimon was not talking about not Isser Labala. He was not talking about get. That's for sure. He wasn't talking about a get. He certainly was not talking about a ponui and a pnuya and kavana. That was the craziest explanation I heard. But I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about in korban katani. He is trying to say that in a case where asur beit din bo ra'atan, kizadon ish bishav, a guy sleeps with a married woman, and they both know that what they're doing is wrong. Are they chayav a korban? No. Because there's no chiyuv of carbon in bezadon. They make a hairah as bezadon, the equivalent of zadon. Not, as Tyson explained, the equivalent of zadon because they were so bad. Bezadon, after all, was relying on the detective work. That for sure is not the pshat over here. Because we'll see later on that it's the exact opposite. It's just a simon, says Tyson. We make it like a mazid in terms of the simon. We see that from the end of the Mishnah. If the bezadon told her you're allowed to get married, and she instead goes and sleeps with a guy, so that's called Shalopi or Raz Bezin. It should be on the contrary. It's even a bigger mazid. And yet there she is, Chayabas Bekarban. So obviously it can't mean because she did the wrong thing. And she's so wrong, she can't bring a carbon. On the contrary, the Mishnah says if she does the wrong thing, she does bring the carbon. So therefore, the only meaning to the Mishnah is, says Taisvis, to this equivalency is, says Taisvis, that in the same way that a mazid would not bring a carbon, so too a yachid who is oisal piyaraz bezdin doesn't give a carbon because Rabbi Shimon Shita is that a yachid who follows a psaka bezdin does not bring a carbon. Nothing to do with mazid. It's simply a simon.
Simply
a simon. It's just a way to remember it. They make it like mazid. Not that it's bad like a mazid, but vis-a-vis that did a carbon, it's similar to a mazid.
How can it possibly be that she's being punished for?
So that's what it means. And the way to understand it is, asu beidin boratan kizadonish bisha, meaning that she doesn't bring a carbon, and asu the alpia edin kishigigadish bisha, meaning that she does bring a carbon. Okay. Oh, wait, and I got another explanation. Vivoy Sema. Hakamais rabbanan hi. Yes, the whole first part where it says, except for an ashes ish who gets married alpi bezdin, that is going according to the rabbanan. You misinterpreted it. You're missing a vav. You thought it meant chutz mi eshet ish sheniseit al pi beit din. That's not what it says. It says chutz mi eshet ish v'sheniseit al pi beit din. Two separate cases is what it's saying. Either an eshet ish who gets married with Aiden, or an eshet ish which is al pi beit din be'ed efad. Both of them need a get. Okay, so in other words, that's the Rabbanan. They both need a get. We're not even talking over here, Alibi Rabbi Shimon. The whole diet that we made with Kafil, it can't be the Rabbanan. It is the Rabbanan. Exactly, it's the Rabbanan, and Rav is coming to tell me that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, and everything is beautiful. Masivula. Okay, the whole thing is based on, and this was your Taina, this was the Svara, the whole thing is based on my Hevilah Lamevad. What is the poor woman supposed to do if she trusts the witnesses? Why do you expect her to do any better? And how could you possibly say that she should be Asura Labala Rishon? She did everything she was supposed to do. She should be able to go back to her husband. That was your logic, and on that basis you're passing like Rabbi Shimon, and maybe there's not even a Machlokas. That's what you're saying, right? I don't even think it's true. Is that indeed a principle of law in this case, that there was nothing she could have done? The Atnan, let me show you that it is not true. It says, Beferish in a Mishnah, Katav l'shem malchut she'ina hogenet, l'shem malchut madai, l'shem malchut yavan, halacha is the Rabbanan made a takana, that every get has to be written with the dating aliba, the local government. The reason for this was because of Shalom Malchut, and even though when it comes to monetary contracts, it's unimportant. That's because the government couldn't care less how you want to date your contract. If you want to date your contract by, this was my child Judy's third birthday party, that's fine also, and it's enough to be koveya the halacha of what the contract is. But when it comes to marriage and divorce, governments are, until today, very machbit. We're the ones who will tell you if you're married. Did you register your marriage? You're married. You didn't register your marriage? I don't care if you got some weird clergyman saying that you're married. You certainly cannot file a joint account. Right? I mean, of course, you know, nowadays you don't need marriage for joint. But I'm saying, but the point is, when it comes to defining marriage, we'll tell you if you're married or not. We'll tell you if divorced or not. We will enforce bigamy laws, not religious authorities. Therefore, being as this somehow or other became indicative of the power of a malchus, which is an amazing thing. In other words, the malchus ad hayom sees itself as responsible for defining the levels of relationship of which malchus itself is an outgrowth. It's a surprising subconscious recognition. So therefore, once we made a takana that you must therefore accept the local authorities, this is going a little bit to the mayor who holds that whenever you change a takana and a get is possible. So over here, you're not following the matbeah of the chachamim. You're doing the get wrongly. The get becomes possible. Therefore, if you are one of these Roman files, and you always keep the date from the Yesod of Rome, or from the day of Julius Caesar, or whatever.
August 1st.
August 1st, exactly. So then, it's not a kosher get. Or you're right from Malchus Madai, or Malchus Yavan, or for that matter, Labinyan Abayas, or Lechorban Abayas. That's no good. If the sofer was in the Mizrach and he writes in the Ma'arav, and the Ma'arav and he writes the Mizrach, the truth is I say the sofer, but there's really a machlokas over the Rivan says it's referring to where the husband was at the time. Again, the big question is it the sofer, is it the Eden, is it the husband? It's not our problem right now. Whatever it is, which we'll see in Gittin. And he writes in a city to the west when it was in the east or vice versa, and now it turns out 10 years later we look at the get and we say, hey, woman, what's the matter with you? This isn't a good get. It says over here that it was 370 years from Augustus Caesar. Yeah, so what's wrong with that, she says. What do you mean? Don't you know that it was Meshanami Matbeya Shetobu Chachomi and it's apostle again? You've been married to this guy as an Ashes Ish all these years. And indeed, Allah is, take say Mizel Mizel, V'chol Adrachim Eluba. Now, I'm asking you, did the woman do the right thing? Did she go to Besdin? Did they give her a get? Did they tell her, you're muteres l'chol adam, go and marry whomever you wish. The poor woman is supposed to be smarter than everybody else, right? And she now is asura. What do you mean? My heavy lalamevad. What was she supposed to do? I understand. What more can you do? The shliach knocks on her door. He says, look, I'm bringing you this kosher get. Here it is. And it's all signed with the Adim. Everything's fine. Well, how is she supposed to know? What do you mean? She should have gone to an authority and said, look, I want to get married. This is what they sent me. I mean, you know, I wasn't there when they reviewed it. Is this a kosher get or not? Had she done that, she would have very rapidly discovered that it's not a kosher get. So you don't, that's not called my Havel Olam Ebad. Om Rav Shimi Barashi, okay, I'll ask you. How about this case? Tashma, this is wild. I couldn't have said to. Somebody goes ahead now. He takes his Yavama. Very nice. Guy dies, had two wives. One of the women goes ahead and is on fine Yavama. The other wife says, thank God I got away with that one. I always hated my brother-in-law. Okay, so now I'm going to go marry the guy I always wanted to marry. She goes out and gets married. 5 years later, turns out that the woman who got married was an islandess. So she was never even chayeves in Yibum. There was only one woman who was chayeves in Yibum. Oh my God, what a mess. So there are Chatzar Atavanisait, and now Nimte Zu Ilanit. So Teitse Mize Mize, if she got married based on this, and Koladrochem Ailuba, and then the whole thing in the Mishnah. Rashi is going according to Rabbi Akiva because it's a Chayev Lav, even though it's only a Chayev Lav, but a Chayev Lav according to Rabbi Akiva is a meaningless marriage. It's the same thing as an Erva. And the din is that there's no marriage at all, right? So Koladrochem Ailuba. Am I don't understand. Why don't you say, my heavy lalam ever? What's the poor girl supposed to do? The woman went ahead, she got yibum, and she asked in the court. They said, of course, you're mutar. So what is she supposed to do? She's supposed to, what? Now, go have this woman checked out genetically and find out whether she's an islandess. I mean, why would anybody think such a thing? So name of my heavy lalam ever? Well,
She should have waited to see what's going on. Some Rishonim, that's only where something looked fishy. In other words, this woman was presenting some simonim of violence, wasn't at the right age for the simonim to be definitive. So there she could have waited. But when it's so over here, she could have waited to see if her husband shows up. No. For many reasons. The most clear one is that there's no time limit to that. If you're waiting till the husband shows up, it means never get married. Don't accept the testimony at all. That's crazy. That's the most clear cut thing. You can't ask that over here. There's a time. Look, we'll find out. Give it a couple of years. We'll find out if she's an islandess or not. If there were grounds to suspect that she was an islandess. Okay. Now, how about this case? Omar Abai, okay. I got even a better case for you. Toshma. Kol arayot she'amru. In all of the cases, the 15 arayot that we said that they are patek, zorotehem, and so on. So suppose that Sarot now going to get married, right? Now, the wife who potted her, who was the sister, let's say, of the wife of the brother, the living brother, so she said, well, you know, there's no way he can marry now his wife's sister, so therefore I don't have to worry about it. The whole family's potter from Yibum. Now it turns out that his wife's sister, who was the source of the whole Ptur, was an islandess. And it says in the Mishnah, the Kulam Shinimtsu islandess, so the whole thing doesn't apply, and the Tzara requires Yibum. Now all of a sudden she's an islandess. Now, in this case, why is this case any better than the other case? We already went through the same. There's a big difference. Because in this case, the assumption was that there never, ever even was a Chiyuv of Yibum. I never became a Nisui Yavama L'shut. In the previous case, the moment that the husband died, I became a Yavama, and I knew I couldn't marry. So now I needed to take off my Isser of Yibum, my Isser of Yavama L'shut, through this other woman's Yibum. Okay? I understand that over there I should have made absolutely sure that my previous state of Isser was taken off. But in this case, there was now a presumptive state of heter. Because this is a woman who was married in a family that couldn't be chayav and yibum because of the presence of an erva, and therefore there was no iser, and now all of a sudden it turns out that there is an iser. So maybe over there, I mean, for sure we would think, and in such a case, we wouldn't have said, Teitse mizeh mizeh v'chol drachim eloba. And indeed I ask you, v'am I? I mean, why don't we say, Neimamai Havi Lelam Eva? You say, what could she have done? And says the Gemara, well, same thing we said before, even though it's a bigger fiddish. But she should have made absolutely certain that the sister-in-law that she had that was pottering her from Yibum, because of the fact that her sister-in-law was an Erva, was indeed an islandess. I mean, was indeed not an islandess. Turned out she was an islandess. Omar Rava says, Rava, okay, I got one for you. I'd like to see you get out of this one. How about this one? Toshma. Katav sofer get li isha. This is a crazy situation. We walk in over here to the sofer, right? And he writes the get to the husband. He says, okay, here's the get. This is all correct. Check it over. Perfect. Perfectly good get. Chief rabbi is yes. Kosher get. No problem. All right. Now, you, madam, you wanted a receipt written out so that you could take your ketubah. Give him a receipt that you received the ketubah. Very good. Is this correct? Yes. The receipt's wonderful. Thanks. Great receipt. Okay. Very good. Folds it up, puts an envelope, gives the receipt to the man, the get to the woman. The man now ceremoniously presents the receipt as the get to the woman. And the woman ceremoniously presents the get as the receipt for her ksuva. What a mess. Okay. And now she goes and gets married, brandishing her receipt, which is packaged in this beautiful envelope. Get, and so on and so forth. Goes ahead and says, wow, I got the most beautiful get in the world, and I don't want to open this, it's all signed and everything, you know. But I keep this safe, I put it in my safe deposit box. Little does she know that all it is a worthless receipt. So now she gets married. And now years later, we open up the safe deposit box, we find out she never had a get. Now over there, we checked the get. And we knew it was a kosher get. Don't tell me she should have checked it and found out, and so on. That was done already, okay? And now everything seems to be just fine. Now, what in the world in that case? And yet the din is that if the guy went ahead and he gave now, he gives the get to the isha, he gives the shofar to the ish, they each present very ceremoniously what it is that they had. And now la'achar zman, they both open their envelopes, and lo and behold, the man has the get, and the woman has the receipt. After, so she divorced him, I guess. That's not a very good man, very good divorce. So oh, it's horrific. She loses everything that she had invested the past 20 years in her second husband, exactly in the Mishnah. No.
My Abu Elamel, what are you going to tell me in this case? We did check out the get. Everything was done correctly. I mean, this is a mad situation.
The Kenyan of
the
Isha, she never
got a get.
It's clear his
doesn't matter. You need to have a giving of a get. There was never a giving of a get. It doesn't help. Absolutely. Nesina is the essence. Right? It's Vinatan. Yeah, it has to give her a get kritut. Vinatan la get kritut. Okay, so, say for kritut, I mean. So, take him, he says, I name him, I have a lamevat. Okay, this is the Gemara. Even in this case, that we knew it was a kosher get. I don't understand. It never occurs to anybody that there might be the wrong thing in the envelope. She should have opened the envelope and presented it to the president and said, did I get the right thing? Not. Even that's called. If you're worried, you're concerned, then you do what you need to do. Omer Ravashi. Okay. How about this one? Shina shmo v'shem ira. Shem ira or shem ira. Teitze mizeh mizeh. V'kol ha-dvarim ha-elu are here. Okay. So here, there is not even any way to know now, is there? Because, I mean, basically, she's getting the get a year later. They finally made it. Delivered the get to her. It went all the way across the ocean. She was in India. It was delayed by a war. And it says, okay, here we are in New York City. And now, it turns out, they actually weren't in New York City. But the sofer figured that since the Beis Din in New York is the one that's being marshaled again, he should write, we're here in New York City. In doing that, he passed the get. Or he changed the name. Meaning, not that he wrote the wrong name of a different person. He wrote this guy's name in a different place. The guy was known, we have cases in the Gemara, the guy was known in the Galil, with his name in the Galil. And in Yehuda, that was like a low-class name. People always look at that as a corny name. So he had a different name in Yehuda, okay? So Lechari, you'd say either name is good. But depending on where you're writing it, you have to use that name. So it's not that she gets it. She doesn't know. Do I know what it says over here? That's his name. I know that's his name. As a matter of fact, I always call him that name. Sounds like.
In Israel, they know me as one name.
Exactly. That's true. So here, I mean, here we've got a situation. I mean, I'm asking you, what is the poor woman supposed to do? I mean, this is crazy, no? My Havi Lala Meva. I mean, so what should have been done in this case? What do you mean, my Havi Lala Meva? This should have been exactly as you're saying it. You're right, it's a little bit far-fetched, but she should have had it examined and made sure that that was the situation. By the Kriya Legita, she went to a Beis Din and found out that each and every one of these things was correct according to the time that it was done. Whew, unbelievable. Omer Avina. Okay, how about this one? Tashma. Kansa beget kereyach. Betzei mizeh omizeh. Now, a get kereyach, this is a complicated thing. But a get kereyach is a whole different type of contract, which only appears here, and the reason we created this weird kind of get, which I'll explain in a moment, is because we like to do weird things with getting. You know why we like to do weird things with getting? Because by the time you figure out all the weird things that need to be done, they make up and they don't give the get.
It's not worth it.
It's so complicated, which of course modern society has managed to achieve in all of the litigation. It's just not worth it. It's simply not worth it. Much easier to hire in the mafia. Whoops. What's Italian style? So now, it's the same idea. So what they did was, they created a get where you write two lines, you leave a blank line, you fold over the lines that you wrote, and you sew it. Now, on the back of the fold, the Aiden sign on that fold. Then you write the next two lines, bend it over, so it create another fold, which happens an accordion kind of thing, and the Aiden have to be signed on every piece of the accordion. If a guy goes ahead and he says to 10 different people, listen, you're all my good friends, I want to be mechabed you on the happiest day of my life, thank God I'm getting rid of the, no good thing, so each one of you now, I want to be mechabed to sign on a different fold, and they're playing the music and they're all happy and so on. And what happens is, one of them doesn't have a signature on it. Right? So we make a gezeira, because even though you'll say, but there's two witnesses, I mean, what do we... But the difference is that if somebody had indeed made 10 people as witnesses, then if any one of them is off, then it's not a kosher witnesses. So there's no way to know that. Okay, this woman gets her get, opens it up. Wow, this is it's pretty. Look at that sewing. And so many people signed. That's great. I guess they didn't have anybody for this line, you know. And turns out it's not a kosher get. So there, they give her a get. It's called a get kereach. It's got a bald spot. It's called the bald get because one of those folds doesn't have any Aiden sign on it. Even over there, they say mizeh mizeh. What's she supposed to do? She sees Aiden. She says, I get. Everything's okay. Beis Din says, this is the get. We basically wrote this get. It's 100% kosher get. Just make sure it's signed. Okay, make sure it's signed. It's 20 people on it. and everything's great. Am I having all the meva? Even in this case, look, if you're worried about something and you want to make sure it's 100% right, you take it to an expert and you have it reviewed, and you don't jump to conclusions any more than you would jump to conclusions in buying your house or setting up your will. You go to an expert, that's all. What do you, download the will from the internet? Okay, so therefore we accept the fact that there is a svara to say that my havila lemevad, which applies to 2 Aden, there's nothing else you can do. But in all of these other cases, we can't say my havila lemevad.